All right. I don't like it when it's glitchy. It's chuckling. I can hear you, Len. I'm going to mute everybody. But it's nice to hear Len chuckling. Let's see. Mute. All right. Okay, so everybody, make yourselves comfortable. And for the newcomers, we'll share a meditation for a little less than an hour, and then we'll have time for a conversation. So make sure your bodies are comfortable as possible, as comfortable as possible, and then you can close your eyes. Make sure you're muted. I think you might still be unmuted. Okay. Don't worry. There we go. If we had a real shrine, a real physical shrine, it would not be glitchy, you see. I would welcome you at the door. I would tell you to take your shoes off and you'd come, and maybe I'd hug some of you that I know. Those who I don't know, I would probably not hug. Maybe I would. Then you'd come in and you'd sit in a lovely cushion, on a lovely cushion. And there would be some nice incense burning, and there would be a candle burning and a nice altar. And then I would shut the door of the shrine, and inside it would be dark, but a little bit of light streaming in. And it would be very, very silent, that kind of silence that is enveloping and lovely. Kind of silence that has been honored for years and years and years and years. Completely unglitchy silence. That's what's happening in our hearts. We are gathered in the shrine. And here, there's absolutely nothing that needs doing. It's a refuge. Here we take refuge for a bit, like a little child running into mama's arms. That's what we do here. We behave a little bit more grown up, maybe, maybe not, but really we are running into mama's arms. And then she takes us in her arms, and we don't have to do anything at all. Unless we want to have a cry or tell her how horrible our day has been or how mean somebody is behaving or whatever you may want to sort of hand over to this invisible mama. But you really don't have to even remember what it was like out there. Sometimes the shrine has the power, has that power of erasing everything quite soon. Suddenly everything is okay. Suddenly we can taste, or maybe not suddenly, but quickly and naturally, we can taste the safety, the peace, we can taste the quality of something mysterious that seems to be very, very ancient, seems to have been here for a very, very, very long time. Very ancient. Perhaps even has been here, is here, always. It, of course, it might take a little time, even maybe the whole session and more, for the mind to begin to unwind a little bit. So nothing needs to happen with the mind. Perhaps your mind is like a hyperactive little child running all around the shrine, running. No problem. Plenty of space. But once in a while, maybe this little child that is your mind runs right into the lap of this invisible mama. Buries herself in this soft, steady, quiet presence. And feel that this quiet, soft presence caresses not just the mind, but the body. Because I do know that each one of our bodies is probably rippling with tension, rippling with emotion. But maybe you can feel that it's completely allowed, this body and mind, completely allowed. The breath, the thoughts, and the whole array of feelings and sensations that make up this little person that we each are, with our drama, our opera, our little mini opera. Here in the shrine, you can sort of surrender it all. It's intermission time. You can taste the silence, the peace. Swim even in it if you like. Bury yourself in it. Curl up in it. Prostrate in it. Lie belly down in it. Jump up and down in it. Whatever. Splash around in it. Cry for it if it's not happening. You can do that too in the shrine. Call for it. And of course, to be with what is also what we learn when we're in the shrine, when we're touching this invisible mama. There's a quality of allowing. Of tasting. What we may have been pushing away or micromanaging outside the shrine, or avoiding. So here we can feel, taste, sense, rather than label, rather than compare. Rather than anticipate. Which is really what we spend lots of time doing. Thinking, thinking, thinking. In the shrine, we come a step closer to the now. To the flow of life by feeling. So if you're thinking, just if you have lots of thoughts, just feel the thinkingness. That will bring you one step closer. Thought brings you to the feeling of thinking, which is usually a kind of intensity in the head area. You might feel the space between your temples. You might notice quite a lot of sensation there, the thinker. And no judging. Say hello, hello thinker, hello head. Just feel what's there. Let yourself be caressed by this sensation. And then maybe you move to another sensation in the body that you have become aware of, simply because you've dropped down a little bit away from thinking into feeling. So you might be drawn to another sensation. Just pick one, and chances are it's going to be a sensation that you were avoiding. Maybe a tension in the jaw, or a tension in the shoulders, or in the back, or just pick one and go sit by it for a few seconds with your tactile ears. Listen to its vibration. And then you move. Don't stay too long, because sensations, they like to move. And if we give them too much attention, they crystallize. They can reinforce a quality of tension. But if we just listen lightly to the body here and there, and we say hello, it's like we are encouraging the body come back to life, to flow. Feel your palms, your fingers tingling. Hello. Feel that the tingling can really exist in a quality of spaciousness. You might want to really also see that when we come into the shrine, we can be open to the possibility that we don't really live in a limited body. We can let that go, that belief, and rather feel that the body is a sort of flowing experience that unfolds in a quality of openness. In the shrine, we don't really need our envelope, so it's a nice opportunity. To return the wave that is the body to the ocean. Feel also the weight of the body. Feel the weight of the arms, where the hands are resting on the laps. Really let that point of contact become alive. The temperature of the palms, they can penetrate, feel the warmth penetrating very naturally. You don't have to manufacture it. Your arms sort of like a mass, a tactile mass. And then maybe these shoulders can be encouraged to melt a bit down through the arms. The arms more like rivers now. Don't push it though. And then feel your legs. What is the substance of your legs? Your thighs, your hips first, your thighs, your knees, your calves, your ankles, your feet, your legs, Hello, legs. You really don't have to direct your attention towards the legs, but rather just, it's like you're opening your heart to this experience called legs. Letting the legs really rest on the ground. Really laying the weight of the legs down on the earth. Don't forget that you're sitting on a very soft cushion, very soft. Not hard. Hard is a projection of the mind. It's a form of resistance. Soft ground so the legs can sink in. Long legs, long arms. Hello, body. Body heart, not a body that's, I don't know, just a body. It's a body you, body heart, body God. What about we visit our face, our head area? Just feel the tactility of the face, the mask. Feel your scalp, your forehead, your temples, your eyes. Feel your cheeks, your mouth, your lips. Very sensual, your lips. Your chin, your ears. Just the words, just let the words be like lights. It's lighting up the face. The face comes to life. You don't have to do it. You don't need the face right now, so you can let the face become sort of a swarming mass of sensations. Touching the space all around. Having a bath. Don't worry if the mask stays a little bit dense, a little bit tense. Just feeling whatever's here, no preference. Let the body move very, very slow, very gentle, just a little bit without opening the eyes. Maybe feeling your spine, your torso, and just letting the whole torso trace the contour of a bowl. Slow. And then imagine ripples of warm water that just begin to move the body in different ways, different currents, different movements. Different directions. And maybe imagine the spine more like a plant, an aqua plant. And you just discover what happens. Maybe the head can be included and there can be space in the hips and the shoulders and the elbows and all the articulations. Maybe your arms even will be carried away from your lap. Very gentle, very tactile, the hands caressing the air, maybe one arm lifting, you don't know. Just discover. Sometimes you feel that you're doing it. Enjoy that. Next moment, feel that there's movement, free of a mover. Nobody doing it. Just the space moving. Space moving space. Yes, and then gently let the movement come back to stillness very, very effortlessly. Don't direct it. Rather be the stillness to which the body returns. You're the open space, and here comes the body melting back into you, dissolving, merging. Like a wave that would come back into the ocean. Maybe feel the ocean, feel yourself as the ocean. So feel the quality of borderlessness. Just let that word ripple. Just the possibility of feeling borderless in all directions. And now come to the feeling of bordered. Feel the borders of your skin, of your body. And that's okay too. We can play with both. After all, we are both. We are the wave and we are the ocean. But feel the borders of the wave that you are. Maybe feel those borders very fuzzy, open, undefended. That's the word. Skin of your arms, touch of the clothes on your belly, on your back, your legs, touch of the air on your scalp, the back of your neck, your throat, your cheeks. Imagine fingers tracing gently the edges of your body, bringing the sensation very alive. The whole envelope. Imagine your pores are enjoying this, and instead of contracting in defense, they're opening, softening. Saying, oh, it's okay. I can touch and be touched. And now gently rounding your back, just round your back. Still with a feeling of open pores, surrendered weight. If you're sitting cross-legged and you feel like it, you can slowly extend your legs in front. If not, if you're sitting in a chair, just a rounding of the back, dropping of the shoulders. Coming and the going of the breath, very relaxed. Feel the legs, or the weight of the legs are surrendered. Maybe you can lean back a little bit to make sure that the thighs are not glued to the hips. There's a little bit of space in the thighs. Maybe even a lot of space in the thighs. If your legs have extended and you feel like it, you can bring them back to a cross-legged, whatever feels right. And now feel very subtle, a very subtle little line of energy from the pubic bone rising up. So the back is completely passive, and very slowly from the pubic bone, there's a rising up of the torso, as if the whole front of the torso was caressing the space in front, slowly. Don't feel you have to do it, rather discover it as it happens. The torso like a ghost rising out of its tomb. Ghost-like. Now the torso is vertical without being sort of martial about it. It's a quiet verticality, a humble verticality. Feel the top of the head, but you don't quite know where the top of the head is, so why don't you make it really quite high up toward the ceiling, almost like pushing through the ceiling with the top of your head. And your arms are rivers flowing down. Don't forget your legs, they are sinking into quicksand. Your mask is wax that is set out in the sunshine is slowly melting. And the breath is allowed, completely free. And yes, and now we're going to let your forearms slide off your lap. Let your upper arms be alongside your torso, very sensual. Feel the touch of your skin, of your clothes. It's never mechanical. Feel your elbows. And feel that the elbows are pushing the shoulders up towards the ears very, very slowly, very smooth. The shoulders are floating up, 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 up. You are the space, you're just tasting this movement, up, 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 up. Make sure your hands are dripping down to the floor. Your face is relaxed, your legs are hanging down vertically. Your breath is soft. And slowly the shoulders are now melting back down like two clouds are coming down, they're coming down, they're coming down. Emptying the shoulders, emptying the face, emptying the hips. Coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down. Don't keep anything in the shoulders, surrender the shoulders. And let the forearms melt back down into your laps, slow, fingertips touching, whatever they touch, enjoy. Hello, you say hello to every little micro sensation. It's a body of joy, even if it's a body that suffers, sometimes our bodies carry so much. But here in the shrine, we can reacquaint ourselves with a body of joy. Meaning a body that recognizes its nature. Find that ghost-like quality again, and now the torso, like a ghost, turns towards the left side, very slow, Don't do it. Don't do it, please. Let it be done. And just stay right before a mechanical body gets created. Yes, now the torso towards the right side. It's just a ripple of sensation. And you're the borderlessness. Slow, smooth. Feel that moment where the doer wants to come in and push and stretch and twist. Try to resist the temptation. You move back a little bit and you give the body to the openness. Yes. And again to the left. Slow. Very transparent. Let the hands rest on your left thigh. Maybe one hand over the other. Nothing to do, nothing, no reason to do it. If there's boredom, what does it taste like? Where does it live in the body? What color? Boredom is what a separate entity feels like. In this moment, perhaps. Empty the weight, and now the torso again to the right. Don't do it. It's like a prayer or like an offering to the space. You want it to be the most beautiful offering, which means that you have to stay well out of the way. And your hands on your right thigh, slow, delicate, tender. And then you empty the body, return the body to its habitat. There's always something to give, to surrender. What about the hands? Are they surrendered? The shoulders, the jaw, the teeth, the eyeballs, the breath. At some point, you can just be the space. Yes, now the torso, very lazy, comes back to the center. The coming and the going of the breath. Like a wave, the inhale rising from the pubic bone to the top of the head. A pause, and then the exhale, a wave coming down from the top of the head to the pelvis. If you know Ujjayi breath, you can apply it. It's a light filtering at the back of the throat that creates a sound that is very beautiful. Long inhale, a pause. Long exhale, a pause. Find your own rhythm and see if you can keep the quality of a breathing, free of a breather, even though we are elongating the breath a little bit. Still, no pushing, no pulling, no straining. That's the stuff outside the shrine. Now visualize your favorite tree 3 meters in front of you and feel that the breath, with the breath, you're licking the tree from the roots to the top of the tree with the in-breath, from the top of the tree to the roots with the out-breath. Find your own rhythm. Welcome whatever arises as you follow the exercise. Welcome whatever arises, even if it's unpleasant. Long inhale, a pause. Long exhale, the pause. Licking the tree, very sensual. Now take away the tree and feel that with the inhale, you're filling the space in front from the floor of the cellar all the way up to the ceiling with the in-breath, and emptying the space from the ceiling all the way down to the floor of the cellar with the out-breath. Find your own rhythm. Exploring, tasting the pause at the bottom of the exhale. Feel the texture, the color. That moment before the next in-breath rises out. Maybe there's some creepy crawlies there, some fears, some difficult feelings. Let them be, let them swim up. And similarly, explore the pause at the top of the in-breath. Different quality up there. And when I say explore, it's light-handed, just tasting the pause, the breath, the pause. Yes, now after the next out-breath, just let the breath be natural. And again, see if the body would like to be moved by these currents, invisible currents, and let the body be moved, either by invisible currents sort of outside the body, as if the body was this plant in water, or you could also explore movement from within the body. There's so many emotions, energies that might want to unfold as a movement. So see what happens. Nobody's looking, eyes are closed. Feel your hands may want to shape or express something with your arms, your hands, your fingers. Feeling that the space is not empty, it's got a texture, and the palms of the hands like to touch and shape the space. Your torso carving, your emotions taking form. If the body wants to stand, it can stand. It's almost like a dance now developing, and feel it's a sacred dance in the shrine. It's a dance of intuition. As if you were channeling, and you are, something of this openness, of this invisible mother. She's taking possession of your body and facilitating something. You don't have to do it. You can just let her do it for you. Your hands, your face, your back, your torso, your hips, your legs, your feet, your mouth, your eyes, your hair. No reason to do this. Not making sense. Making love, not sense. Making ripples. Making petals. If there's some feelings that are inhibiting or embarrassment or whatever, some difficult feeling, you could actually give it a shape. Give it to the mother and she will create a dance with it. Or a shape. So this dance doesn't have to be pretty. It's also important to know. Yes. And again, let the body wave come back into the ocean, merging to the stillness of the ocean. Feel that you are the ocean. Really let yourself feel that sense of borderlessness, that sense of stillness. Of depth. Even if you don't quite feel it, just maybe you get a glimmer. For some people, it helps to feel it more like a vibration that you could actually hear. A vibration that is not located. Maybe you can hear it in your ears, but it's really not in your ears. And then you just surrender to the vibration. Now don't do anything. Just resting together. In presence. Have a little break till 5:30, so we come back at the 5:30 of wherever you are. Thank you so much. See you in a few minutes. Welcome back. If anybody wants to speak, share, ask, you're absolutely welcome. Yes. Leslie, are you waving? Looks like you are, but you're frozen. Anyway, feel free to unmute yourselves. It's a small group.
Yeah, hi. So I'm
new. Hi there. Hi, Leslie. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. So I have a question for you. I recently had a very weird experience. I got COVID, I guess it was last week, and I took Paxlovid, and I went into manic mode. And like, I have a terrain for bipolar, and I went completely nuts. I mean, I became so manic that it was, I've never been like this before. And it lasted for like 3 or 4 days. And by the fourth day, I wasn't sleeping. I was sleeping maybe an hour a night. By the fourth day, I couldn't get out of bed. I needed to go to the bathroom. I was like so tightly wound. And I felt like I was a ball of string, you know, like these big balls, really tight. And I was trying to, I had a new phone and I'd forgotten to increase the fonts. And I was trying to call my best friend in Paris, and she's always there for me. And I was trying to text her, you know, call me. And so finally she calls, and right before she calls, I'm obsessed with the number 3, like 333 is my thing. And it has been ever since I was little. And all of a sudden on my phone, these big numbers in turquoise, like I see 333. And it was so weird. And so she calls me and she says, in French, you know, je suis dans le train. Let's say I'm on a train. And I said, Meka, and I was crying. I was like, can you just listen to me? Just listen to me. And she's like, well, what's the matter? And I said, I've COVID. I took Paxlovid. Anyway, I'm sorry to take so long. And did you want to say something?
Leslie, hello. So I think I know who you are. You're Leslie Vikas, is that?
What?
Yeah. I'm interrupting you because I want to know how you're doing now.
Now I'm doing great.
Like just this moment.
Yeah, that was really okay. Great. Just what I needed. I'm just like, my mind.
Well, because I think, you know, I can tell it was, you know, whatever happened with the COVID and the medication set you off. But I think if you're feeling better now, that's, yeah, well, that's the main thing, right?
Exactly.
Because it can be very, very scary.
But I just wanted to say,
go ahead.
What I don't understand is that I just had some, okay, so weird stuff happened. Like my phone started ringing. I just, all these, you know, very weird things. But after I hung up from her, I had, you know, with Rupert, I've been following Rupert for a while, and like going to sleep, like he has this soporific effect on me, and I would go to sleep. And you know this thing he does with the baby and the sensation, this newborn, imagine you're a newborn and you don't have any sensations. So I was doing that, and then I saw myself in a cocoon and coming out of that cocoon. And then I flashed all these images, like La Tour Eiffel, da 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 da. Eh
oui, mais Leslie, moi je vais t'arrêter encore parce que the mind is incredibly like crazy, honestly, sometimes. So you were having some kind of manic, intense. So that's why I think I'm just sort of coming, bringing you back here and now, because it. I mean, you know, it's incredible what the mind can come up with, right?
But it wasn't only the mind. It was like manifesting physically with things ringing.
Well, mm-hmm. So you had some hallucinations as well.
No, I was not hallucinating. I was.
Oh, okay. I thought that.
Yeah, I mean, no. Like an Amber Alert went off on one of my phones, in my French phone.
Okay.
Non, mais c'est pas un truc que je suis en train d'imaginer. Hein. See,
No, no, no,
she
I know, Leslie. But anyway, I'm going to pause you because I want to give space to other people here. But I want to make sure you're looking after yourself and
Ah,
not
fine.
taking that medical.
Totally,
Huh?
totally. C'est fini les médicaments et tout ça. Non, non, non,
Okay,
mais
okay. All
je...
right. Mais c'est chouette de, que tu sois venu ce soir.
Parce que Céline, pas Céline.
I know, I know.
D'accord. Ok, bon,
I...
je me tais, merci de m'avoir.
Nice to meet you, Ed. Nice to meet you.
Can I ask a quick question, Ellen? This is Suru.
Yes, who's talking?
Suru
Oh,
is
hi,
talking.
Sarush. Hi,
Yeah.
Sarush.
Hi, is this okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Yes. When you say to move the body, but don't do it, there is in that moment like a tension arises where I'm trying to battle and differentiate between the sense of allowing it to happen and then not allowing myself to happen. And then even as I'm saying it, it's a little funny because even that sense of allowing it to happen, even that sense of thinking that I'm the one m moving my body feels a little blasphemous. You know, like a, it seems like a bit of a joke to feel this tension. But this tension arises nonetheless.
The reason you feel tension is because I'm provoking it because it's quite artificial, you know, in a way. We're moving, and I'm sort of suggesting to feel that the movement is arising without a mover, because in a way that's the truth of our experience. But we can't manufacture that. Sometimes we have glimpses, but in these yogas, we're experimenting and exploring. And so you're feeling that tension, and that's interesting, you know. And in a way, maybe that's the gift of the yoga for you, is to feel the tension is a sort of confusion, because maybe you're trying to do the exercise the way I'm suggesting, and sometimes you get a glimpse. I'm actually staring at your fixed image, Sarushan. It's so disconcerting. I really don't like it when it's so glitchy. It's quite glitchy tonight.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it too much, because I think given how you've posed the question, I think you've understood the sort of exploration.
Yeah.
And in theory, you know that there's not a separate mover. Of course, there is a mover. Like right now, Ellen is moving, you know, and Sarush is not moving enough for my taste on my glitchy screen. But in other words, if you know, it's natural to feel ourselves to be a mover, but it's also very good to sometimes really spend a bit of time, like we do here, to really reestablish that there is no separate mover. And we can really feel that. We can really feel that. We can really reacquaint ourselves with that. And we can also feel in this yoga the very hard to die habit of being a separate doer. You know, like if we're doing the torso turn, it's very hard to resist that impulse to, like, yes, you know. And there we can see it, we really feel it, that sort of. And what I mean by separate doer, I mean that one who wants to achieve something, who wants to gain something. That, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But it's really a matter of, I don't know, touching all these different nuances of
Yeah.
the only being that is, which is awareness, consciousness.
I suppose the funny part of this is perhaps that even if I give in to the sense that I'm the mover and do the stretch, that doesn't actually separate me. There's no actual separation there
No,
if I
there
give
is
in to
no
that.
actual, exactly.
But
There is
I
no
see.
actual separation, but you could say, why, I don't know. You know what? I get all twisted up in my head.
No,
There is absolutely never, ever any separation, but there's certainly a very convincing illusion of separation that can cause quite a lot of suffering. So that's why in this yoga, we empty the shoulders, we surrender the weight, because there might be some level of separation, these habits of holding myself as separate that we actually don't really need. We don't actually enjoy them. There's other habits of separation that we totally enjoy, and we're going to resume doing them as soon as this call is over, and we're free. It's as Francis Lucille likes to say, it's a free country. We do, you know, it's a game, it's a play of consciousness, of right. of hide and seek. Why not get rid of those habits of separation that we actually don't enjoy?
Right.
Like, okay. You know, like most of us walk like this with our shoulders. And it's like, you know, actually, do we enjoy that? Not.
No.
Or holding the weight in certain parts of the body where actually it's just a sort of deep-seated fear that we can surrender, maybe. Things like that.
Thank you, Ellen.
Does that help? I hope so.
It does help, yes. It's always helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, Ellen. I was waving, but then I realized you may have a frozen screen.
Right. Now you're. Yeah. Go ahead, Len.
Anyway, it's a very interesting thing that Sarush brought up, but before I address that, I just want to say how, you know, sometimes certain things really touch you, and I was very touched by intermission at the Mini Opera. Something about intermission at the Mini Opera that brought this really almost like a Thich Nhat Hanh little smile that stayed with me through the session. So thank you for that little gem. In terms of this, you know, move being the mover, and I found that some of the time I felt in this session that I was sort of just following the moving, and that had to do with timing or allowing something to unfold. And that at a certain point, you said, both hands were on my knees or my legs. And at a certain point, you said, something about your hands on your left leg, you know, one on top of the others, how it felt. But because that movement was had to be faster, I was automatically found myself doing it. And so for me, the timing of unfolding, and at a certain point, I felt like I was, I don't know if this makes sense, but sort of slightly trailing behind the moving as being aware of it, like being behind the moving may not.
Yeah, no, that's a nice description of something that can be felt. I know what you mean by it's a nice way of describing, because in a way when we... It's hard to put into words, isn't it? But sometimes I like to feel myself and I don't know how to put this in words, but it's almost like we pave the way with our tactile sense, and then the movement just flows in. The sensation, we just feel the pathway. I can't explain it. You know, this stuff does not do very well with explaining. But the way you said it was nice. It's that feeling of it, like a trail. You know, like when you wave your hand. If you had smoked something and you wave your hand and you see a trail, it's that same feeling. I've never seen a trail, but I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, yes, it's.
So I think the thing that I wanted to mention about that, and I'm not really. Well, just when from this following mode, let's call it, where there's a certain allowing. And then if all of a sudden my hands are, you know, you mentioned both hands on the left leg, and then at some point after that, both hands on the right leg. And when the timing is faster, then I'm not able to, then I'm doing it. I think that's what I want.
Right. Well, yeah, that's why we go very, very slowly here, because as soon as time and space are reasserted, then it has to be that there's then a doer. By the way, that doer does not have to be separate, right? I mean, but you're absolutely right. Like, time and space and the len sort of, they sort of coexist. They're co-created. And that's why, you know, here we go very, very slowly. The torso turns to the left, you know, smooth space, moving in space. All the language just is going to suggest no person, almost timeless movement, and almost like no space or just openness. That's why then we can touch this feeling of complete effortlessness and just pure tactility. But as soon as if I say another torso, then immediately, yes, of course, then time, space, and len. And no right, no wrong. It's just wonderful to just have, you know, the privilege to explore all this.
That's very true. And I guess I just wanted to say,
and if you want to stay with the quality of not no doer, don't rush. Even if I go too fast, you just go very, you know.
Yeah,
No, you go, Len.
Okay. I think what I wanted to say is I almost wanted to stay with my hands on both knees because I was trailing behind the movement in a particular kind of way. But I didn't. And by not staying where I was, I slipped out of following the movement into doing the movement. And maybe it would have been, I would have been able to stay more in the movement if I had just followed what was allowing me to be, as you put this beautiful word, undefended, not.
But also you might want to explore moving quickly and still being on, you know, like it's all an exploration, but what you caught in your net was just this moment where you were suddenly the mover because there was an acceleration and perfect, you know what I'm saying? But then you could very well move quickly and still have that quality. Yeah, it's right. All, I mean, we mustn't be too, like here, you know, it's really an exploration, and as you know, but it is very enjoyable sometimes to have that, to catch that feeling, that effortless quality and that very sensual, undefended, you know, and I know, Len, that you often have it. And I mean, it's not something we have, but you are experiencing it.
Yeah, thank you. Very beautiful. And I will take with me the intermission at the mini opera. That will help.
Yes.
Become a mini opera.
Yes.
So I have some words that I use.
Who's talking now?
For what y'all were just. It's me. It's Zuzu. Zuleika.
Oh, hi, Zuzu. Hi, Zuzu. Sorry, because I can't quite see today for some reason. Go ahead.
So Zuzu. I have some. There's some sort of poetic word choices that I really like for what y'all were just describing that I got from a physicist named Richard Feynman, describing the way individual photons move, not waves of light, but just the individual photons. He said it's as if they smell for an existing core of space and then move through that. And that those word choices work really nicely for me.
Can you say it again, Zuzu?
That whole experience. Say it again?
Can you say it again?
Individual photons.
Yeah.
That individual photons smell for an existing core of space and then move through that.
Yeah, I mean,
wanted to share.
You know, language. Thank you, Zuzu. And I think, you know, for some of us, it will be very evocative for sure. And for others, they'll be like, what's a photon? And is a photon like, and what's a. So in language is like that. So it's so suggestive and can be miraculous how we can. Yeah. But I like that. So the photons are seeking, and what are they seeking? Core of space.
Sort of smell. They smell.
Oh, yes,
the way he said it. As if they smell for an existing core of space and then move through that.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. Smelling photons.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
What is a photon?
A photon is it's a massless particle. It's very often associated with light, but it doesn't have to be light. And they're more often talked about in terms of waves, but in this instance, it's okay. Just the individual photon.
I see. No, I like it. I'm sort of feeling it. Yeah. I especially like the smelling for open.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zuzu.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
Hi, Ellen.
Who's speaking now?
Jenny.
Oh, hi, Jenny. I was
also the conversation about the movement and not doing the movement, and before that meditation I was doing a Feldenkrais sequence and there the you know, it's always this play with like doing the movement with as little effort as possible, right? Like not like it's the same kind of trying to evoke this feeling of not moving, not doing the movement, but like really experiencing this like effortlessness. And then I have a hard time in certain sequences to do that. And then the teacher said, like, just imagine the movement. And I did the same today in your meditation, which just like imagining the movement first, the dance. And from there, it just appears. And it's was much easier for me to follow my imagination. And I think that's so interesting because through that imagination, we can also loosen the separation, right? And it's also in our imagination that we create the separation. So it seems to be the door.
It's both the doorway in and the doorway out.
Directions. And the other thing that I wanted to share is that about time, that I find myself like looking at the fucking clock, you know, throughout the meditation. And I'm just at the moment in my research, I'm looking at time and timekeeping technology and just like really deeply realized how artificial the clock is. but at the same time, that we have time zones and time, this like clock time, is the basis for our meeting here. Like we can't like, so it's again, this tool for separation because it's completely a minute. It's completely artificial. And me realizing, oh, it's 10 minutes left and meditation doesn't give me any information, you know, it's just like, but somehow it's so deeply ingrained that this information of 10 minutes says something. So.
Well, yeah,
but it brings me into separation and out of this kind of like actually, because then I was okay, what's the opposite of thinking about 10 minutes? It's actually feeling the, like connecting to the silence and not thinking about the minutes. And so again it was like it's so interesting that a technology.
I see what you're saying, that you dance, you land in a moment, a sort of experience of separation, like looking at the clock and thinking about what time is, and then it takes you back to timelessness. And then earlier, this other thing where you imagination takes you both into separation in a way, but also brings you back into oneness. Yeah. But it makes sense because there is really no separation. And the wave is never completely separate from the ocean, but it imagines itself a wave and it becomes a wave with other waves. And then it just imagines itself back, cozy up with Mama Ocean, timelessness.
But that, I mean, that's a philosophical question that then, but then like the good and the bad, you know, aren't they then also not separated? The destruction, the, you know, the weapons that operate with these kind of technologies that kill people, that's the bad, you know, that's the separation. But so I was just like,
Well, from in our worldview, I mean, I should say, I suggest that this, maybe this world here, there is no separation. There's no good and bad with separation between. It's if you explore deeply, it's all made out of the same stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And time and the clock is coming out. The idea of time and the concept of time and even the experience of time, which is really never found, but all of that is coming out of timelessness, of no time. It's all an amazing display of creativity. But it sounds like you're very philosophically minded tonight, Jenny.
I should just go play football. I don't know if that leads.
Maybe. No, football sounds fun. That would be really fun.
Right. Thank you.
Well, anyway, thank you so much for coming. All right, guys. Well, the connection is really not very good, so I'm going to inquire why that is. But thank you all for coming. It's nice to see you, Leslie Tuckman. I don't know if you can hear me even.
It's lovely to see you, Ellen. It's been a while. Missed you.
It's been a while. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, everyone. June dates will be out tomorrow. But there's a meeting next week if you want to come. And lots of love. Take care.
Thank you, Ellen. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you,
Claire.
Everybody.
Thank you. Bye, Leslie. Bye, Kyra. Bye, Claire. Bye, Hannah.
Bye, everyone. Arshit.
Bye.
Bye, Ellen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Len.
Bye.